This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Nick Dowd forcing it up the middle. Wilson was trying to feed Ovechkin, but in tight quarters, Ovechkin got it away. He scores! A backhander from the red line! He did it! Ovechkin scores from long distance! It's goal 886, and it's 4-2 Washington!
That was John Walton on the call yesterday as the Caps 4-2 winners over the Seattle Kraken. And as you heard right there from John Walton, goal number 886 for old Alex Ovechkin, 9 shy of breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. It was Ovi's 33rd goal on the season as the Caps continue to roll. Winners of 4 in a row, now a cushiony 11-point lead in the Eastern Conference. They're tied with Winnipeg overall for the most points in the NHL. They are sprinting towards the end of the regular season as they try to, you know, hopefully go into the Eastern Conference playoffs and not get upset. Still a good opportunity for them to walk away with the President's Cup trophy. So we'll see, you know, how they're able to conclude here in the regular season. But a fun season nonetheless for the Washington Capitals. It's going to be a fun week. Fun couple of days coming up here in NFL free agency. Make sure you keep it locked right here on the Team 980 all day long as the legal tampering period officially gets underway at noon Eastern time today. All news that happens relative to the Washington Commanders, we'll give it to you as soon as it happens. So make sure you keep it right here. It was a crazy weekend in the NFL ahead of free agency. Geno Smith traded to Vegas. DK Metcalf traded to the Steelers. Myles Garrett stops bluffing and signing his contract with the Cleveland Browns. And then a pass rushing target that Washington, I know, was looking at signs in New England, talking about Harold Landry for Washington. Still a couple of housekeeping notes to get to before they actually get to the legal tampering period. A couple of guys that I still expect to get signed here before noon. Washington pretty busy over the weekend, though. They put pen to paper with Zach Ertz on a one-year deal worth up to $6.5 million. We know we saw the Bobby Wagner signing right before the weekend. Zane Gonzalez, the kicker, was signed to a one-year deal as well. They tendered Chris Rodriguez over the weekend. Late last night, was it early this morning, we saw a deal with Tressway. He inked a one-year deal. And then this has been the most interesting one to me, and I'm happy, and I think it's probably like the third most impactful signing that they've had to this point. John Bates putting pen to paper on a 3-year deal to stay here in Washington, the only multi-year deal that's been given out thus far here in the early portion of free agency as Washington tries to do their damnedest to keep their guys in-house. Before we get to a series of tweets that were sent out by a couple of probably former Commanders, Denton, your thoughts quickly to the John Bates and Tressway thing. I think for Bates, huge that he was brought back. we kind of both predicted that they needed to do that. Happy that they got it done.
So I have thoughts. I want to start somewhere else, though, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We are doing a show, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
We are on from 10 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely, unfortunately, does news break during our show.
Yes.
But we like it when it does.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is not working right now.
Well, I haven't been able to check it out.
It is the beginning of the legal tampering period. And yeah. I pulled it up on the desktop in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled it up on the second desktop in front of me because Daddy got two screens over here. I pulled it up on my phone. Twitter is not working. How is it going to go down on the day of legal tampering? When we are going to be filled with news throughout the course of these 3 hours, some related to our team. I'm sure there's going to be some news related to teams that we don't like very much, but we still need to give the news to our audience, and the number one way of sharing that news is down.
Yeah, I'm trying to at the team 980 right now.
Nothing.
My pre-show tweet, nothing will come up.
Nothing. I can't pull up a feed. So, I tried to tweet out the show. I can't get anything.
So to your credit, this just shows how that you're more sharper than me right now this morning, because I was going through hell to get here. I didn't even realize how bad it was when you initially said it. You were like, Twitter's down. And I was like, no big deal. But no, like, it's actually the worst.
No, it's actually a massive deal. If this was yesterday, I'll get the notifications.
Wow.
I'm watching television at that point. But now, during the show, a very important thing that we need to work. Like, how am I going to know if Dante Fowler tweets again about being disrespected? How am I going to know if De'Ami Brown tweets again about not getting a contract here?
Can I tell you, like, a self-talk I was having with myself last night? I said, okay, we're going to be on. I want us to be, me and Denton, to be the place people go tomorrow around noon, even starting at 10 when we start the show, to give people the information. And I'm probably the only sicko in this building that has the tweet notifications on of every NFL insider that's ever tweeted anything. So we were going to kick B. Mitch and Finley's ass when it came to breaking the news, but we don't even have Twitter.
We don't even have
this
Twitter.
This is horrible. I didn't even realize how bad it actually was until I tried to go tweet my little video that I've been doing, and now...
Yeah, like, what if Jeremy Chin was going to tweet his displeasure with not getting a contract? How would we know that?
We would... Not
he would no. join the trifecta of people that are seemingly very angry, although Chin might be a little bit more justified than the other two, but whatever.
So what do we do? I'm on ESPN right now. I have their like live tracker open, but Lord knows how live it actually is. They're probably getting stuff up there 10 minutes.
Yeah, what about when
minutes?
Somebody else breaks the news?
It's
not them. I gotta pull up Blue Sky. Does Blue Sky still exist? People on the Blue Sky app or no?
People tweeting on Blue Sky. What do you call it? Skying?
Sky, whatever that is.
I don't know
called.
What to call it, but that is awful. Damn. Well, we do have some information for you as we were sharing it. John Bates, the only multi-year deal that's been given out. We were going to get to it here momentarily, but I guess Denton kind of already segued us into it. Real quick before we get to Fowler and De'Ami Brown, who I'm sure you all know, I'm sure the Junks talked about it this morning, just how salty they were on social media last night. The John Bates thing, though, I think is huge. You needed to bring him back. I still anticipate 15 to 16 of our in-house guys coming back. Now, obviously, the market is going to change for some of these dudes. And I think Washington and Adam Peters and company are pretty purposeful in what they're doing right now. I think the market is all over the place at a lot of different positions. You're hearing tackle. The market is going to be a situation where guys get overpaid. Guard. You're hearing guys are going to be overpaid. The safety position is something that I'm looking at. So, it's interesting to see that Washington has only brought back to this point, right? To this point, only 6 of their 27 unrestricted free agents. So some more moves I would damn sure, forecast or expected to happen. Who it's going to be, I don't know. I know who it's not going to be. De'Ami Brown and Dante Fowler. I want to read it right from my phone so I don't mess it up. Unfortunately, it's actually on Twitter, so who knows if I'll actually be able to get to the tweet. But, here it goes. Dante Fowler, 14 hours ago at 8:01 p.m. last night. What was I doing at 8:01 p.m. last night? I think I was getting ready to take one of the naps that I took last night that had me up all this morning. But I see the tweet. I caught it live. I didn't catch the deleted tweet, but I caught the actual tweet live. It says, the disrespect, I can't take it anymore. Fowler also tweeted before that, how do I read this without giving out all the expletives? I got to actually find it first. Basically, in a nutshell, Fowler was angrily tweeting at, I don't know if it was at the fans or if it was at the Commanders, saying, hey, look, I have the numbers of the guys that you glaze, to use the term that the folks in our demographic use. And then De'Ami Brown quote tweets the second tweet about the disrespect, saying exactly 100 emoji. I normally don't do this, but I guess I have done this pretty often. I don't like when guys move this way. Let me just start there. For a team last year in Washington that I thought did a tremendous job building culture in an environment where folks were considered selfless, like I thought things like this weren't possible because of that. But Dante Fowler, who, and correct me if I'm wrong, Denton, I didn't expect Dante Fowler to be back. I think I was talking about this during the season, about how his sack numbers are getting to the point where it's like, okay, he's going to expect some ridiculous number. Push comes to shove, his Dan Quinn and company clearly, you know, gave him a number that he wasn't respected, that wasn't a respectable number to him, I guess, and now we're in a situation where he's going to get to go talk to other teams. I tweeted it last night. I don't even know if it was directed towards the Commanders. Anybody that wants to believe that the legal tampering period, oh, it opens at noon and they're just now talking to other teams at noon, you're beside yourself. I'm wondering if that was directed towards Washington, or is that a reaction of his agent sniffing around and figuring out what type of numbers he's going to actually garner on the open market?
Just a couple things here. Yeah. We need to make sure he wasn't pulling an Eric Bledsoe. You remember in the NBA a couple years ago, Eric Bledsoe tweeted, I hate it here. And everyone thought he was trying to get out of Phoenix. And then like 2 days later, he was like, no, I was in a bad barber shop.
Yeah, right.
And we're like, all right, buddy, like enough with that. I didn't see the first tweet.
I just got a tweet notification.
There we go.
So maybe Twitter is back up.
I didn't see the first tweet about him not or putting up the numbers. But the problem with that is that we are intelligent.
Yeah.
The fans are getting smarter and smarter about football the more access that we have to football. So it's very easy to just look at his box score and say, wow, he had double-digit sacks. They should give him a lot of money. But everyone is also very much aware that, hey, you weren't the best in the run. You couldn't set an edge. You played 16 snaps in the NFC Championship game. What level of respect should we be giving you? Because if you want the money that's being rumored for Sweat, for whatever Harold Landry got.
You better not think that's what type of money.
Like Hendrickson, if he's looking for big money, buddy, we watched the games.
Yeah. I don't
like
think
we saw what you were doing. The numbers are great. We appreciate it. You had a good year. There's no one that should say that he didn't have a good year.
Yeah.
He was on a 1 year contract at double digit sacks. It's very impressive. But this is not a long term thing because you lack in a very important element that this defense just so happened to be astonishingly bad at.
So his argument was, well, I don't play a lot of snaps. He was 58th via PFF in total snaps. He had PFF credits him with 11 because their sack system is weird. I think he officially had 10.5. But this is what gets me. And we know we don't subscribe to PFF numbers all the time, but when they're bad, they're bad. A 50 run grade, 170th out of 211 edge rushers last year. The overall grade of 62.1 is 100th. Out of 211 edges. So I was saying it last year down the stretch when he was starting to heat up and get the numbers that, hey, like it's cool that, you know, he can beat the tackle every now and then with speed, but like in the run game, he is quite literally a liability.
He hurt
this team. Yes. He literally hurt this team last year in the run. So the idea, and I'm not surprised by the sentiment, I'm surprised that his dumb ass decided to take it to Twitter. And now gloves are off with me because this is stupid. You look like an ignorant ass clown, and now you look selfish. And then De'Ami. De'Ami is where I get pissed off. The moment you start rooting for a guy, the moment you start talking good about somebody, they act a damn fool. What do you mean exactly? What respect has De'Ami Brown garnered in the National Football League? Huh? Yeah, I understand that big-time players make big-time plays in big-time situations. All that's fine and dandy. You had 30 catches last year, bucko. 30. And I'm supposed to sit here and kiss the ring and pay you whatever you're supposed to want? Come on, De'Ami. Wake up. Cliff praised you for, you know, the way that you handled yourself. You're showing more maturity. That's great. doesn't mean you're in line for some big-time deal. And here's the other thing. I can give a rat's ass what the wide receiver market currently says. You're not those guys. Of the guys that are probably going to get overpaid here in the next couple of days, you have the worst statistics.
He doesn't even have 1,000 yards.
He doesn't have 1,000 yards for his career. He's going on year 5 in the NFL. But I got to read tweets and quote tweets about exactly how you're being disrespected. They had to go sign Noah Brown, someone that got cut, because your ass didn't show enough. But I'm supposed to sit here and act as if you're the second coming of Jerry Rice.
I mean, these are the numbers for Diami. 59 catches, 784 yards, 4 touchdowns. You hear those, you're like, wow, those are great numbers.
For a season.
For a season. That's his career.
Yeah, so.
He did that in 63 games.
That's why I'm
like, not. I know he had a really good performance in the first two postseason games, and I applaud you for that. But you got to be a really silly organization to pay a guy a substantial amount of money for two games. That's what this organization was doing 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Thankfully, that is not what this organization is doing now. You need to show a sustained period of getting better and growth. When there's other guys available, like a Debo Samuel, like some of these dudes that are available in the NFL draft, those are far better options than paying Diami Brown upwards of... What? I mean, if Tutu Atwell got $10 million a year.
What, do you think he's going to get 12?
Like, Diami's probably asking for 12 or 15, and that's not going to happen.
And here's the thing. I wasn't just talking out of my wazoo when I said everyone else that's going to get overpaid has better numbers. Tutu Atwell, although the numbers may not be that much better, he's been more productive than Diami throughout his career. He had 42 catches last year to Diami's 30. So I know it's not that much more, but career numbers, 99 catches, 1,300 yards, same amount of touchdowns. But the point is, I understand the frustration. Let me not, like, get it misconstrued. Like, I get why maybe they feel slighted. But, like, that's not the way you handle it. I mean, times I've felt slighted in the workplace, and I've handled it the wrong way, maybe once or twice.
you're spitting game right now.
I haven't gone on a tweet war. You know, I haven't got myself fired and have my coworkers looking at me stupid because I'm tweeting stupid stuff. Like this to me, I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for, especially because the production simply is just not there. And if we're talking about it from an X's and O's standpoint, these were two guys, pat myself on the back, that I knew they weren't going to be back here because I knew they would have strong markets. That's no shame to them.
No, I want Diami to go get his money somewhere else.
Yeah, I think he may be an end-of-the-week guy.
And I want someone to pay him. Like, I want both of those things. I just don't want it in this organization.
Exactly.
Because I understand the value there. But if somebody else, Tennessee, New England, Jacksonville, you know, one of those bottom-tier organizations wants to go pay him, go pay him. Go pay him. This organization is moving to get better. How can we match up and get better against your Philadelphias, your Detroits, although we beat Detroit, obviously, but against the teams that are at the top of this conference? And the unfortunate reality is that you don't necessarily need a Dante Fowler or a Diami Brown while paying substantial money to do that. You got to go get other guys if you're going to pay substantial money to. So it really is. I understand it. They see their friends getting paid and they're like, why am I not getting paid? I feel like that's a natural human reaction.
For sure.
But you got to put the Twitter fingers away. Nothing good. Nothing good has come from Twitter like that.
Ever.
Literally ever.
Is that the behavior? I'm gonna get even deeper with it because old DQ and loving the death for it. I made fun of it after week one when they lost to Tampa, but then it clearly felt like they were getting behind all the messaging that was on the T-shirts and the bumpers and painted across the building. Is the behavior of those two last night on Twitter, is that the behavior of a commander? An organization that's prided itself on being selfless the past year?
Of a commander. That's a good one there. You're going to fire people up. If Twitter was Seriously. Working, your DMs would be filled right now by saying of a commander.
Well, and now since I have zero followers, I'm following zero people. I just got a Shefty tweet notification, though, that Evan Ingram's visiting Denver. That may be the joker that old Sean Payton's looking for. But hopefully my tweet notifications keep coming through like this so I can announce any news.
This will be the new catchphrase for Dan Quinn. No Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
You know, Ted Lasso had the believe sign in the locker room. Dan Quinn's going to put up no Twitter fingers in the locker room. Don't take it to Twitter.
I was stunned by it, Dan. I was. And normally, like, when I'm laying down in bed last night reading it, I'm like, I'm geeking low-key. It's kind of funny. because he deleted it. So he's like, okay, he's salty. For you to go and type it out, it makes you feel better. Then you quick delete. Okay, but if you're going to quick delete, don't leave it up long enough for someone to catch it because your ass is grass.
Now, you got to like, you got to pull.
You're trying to be slick.
You got to pull the Notes app up.
Yeah.
And like, if you got to type it out, pull the Notes app up. Text your homeboy. You know, text your mom. Like, I don't text somebody
send a
that's
voice message.
Yeah, text somebody that's literally just not the world. Because putting it out there only makes you look a little silly.
Yeah, it does. And like the old thing of, oh, I'm going to follow DQ wherever he goes and this and that. I love playing for DQ. I love it here. You don't love it here that much or else you wouldn't. Well, I don't want, that's the other thing. I don't want them to take a low offer. Like, I think Washington is being strategic. I think they want their guys that they're like on the fence about to go test the market. Because I think Adam Peters and company, and this isn't a slight to them, I think it just speaks to the state of free agency with the cap booming. I don't think there is a clear understanding league-wide of what the market is. I think other teams are waiting to see, well, if you're willing to pay him this much, maybe I'll pay him this much. And I think specifically at positions like wide receiver and edge, and this is my thing with Fowler and Brown too. I know his ass didn't see Myles Garrett get $40 million and think, this is my chance. Like,
what am I going to get?
Yeah, like, no, it's not the case.
Bro, you're probably going to get like 6 or 7, all right? Like, slow your roll a little bit. Myles Garrett's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Come on.
Like, all right, so, like, we just got to slow down a little bit here.
It was crazy to think. I hope for both of those guys' sake that they get what their value is. I'm also not going to rule out either of them coming back. They may be later in the week signings when they go out and talk to other teams and other teams humble them and say, hey, look, we're not going to give you that much or get close to what you're looking for. And maybe they think, well, the grass is not greener on the other side and we'll come back to Washington and then we'll get to ask them.
They're also
it.
At two positions that this offseason are incredibly deep.
Yes.
Both in Very the true. Free agent market and in the draft.
Yeah.
So the teams have all the leverage in that. It's not like they are a quarterback or like a great tackle or something like that where a lot of different teams could say, I need one of those guys
right.
immediately. You're a defensive end that does not seal the run very well.
And you're 30.
And you're a wide receiver that has a very similar route tree to that of DeSean Jackson. I like DeSean Jackson. You know how many deep ends DeSean Jackson ran? Not a lot. He was going straight or he was getting a screen pass. That's basically all. Diami has a little bit more than that, but not a lot.
No, he does not. Of those two, Denton, before we hit our first time out of the hour, which one would you want back more?
I would rather have Fowler.
Wow.
Just because
you, actually caught
you
me
could
off guard with that.
You could put him in like packages.
There's a role
and say,
for him.
go yeah. get it. For when it comes to Diami, yeah, Terry, yeah, Debo now.
Yeah.
Please, Luke McCaffrey, get better this year. You're probably bringing Noah Brown back.
Yeah.
Maybe bringing Jamison Crowder back. And there's a lot of options in the NFL draft that you're likely going to get more production from.
I second that statement. I think Fowler, just because his role is more important, I probably want to have him back as well. My gut feel, though, here quickly, I don't think either of them come back. I think they're both replaced. If we saw the tweet, I know that handsome blue-eyed devil Adam Peters saw the tweet. 301-230-0980, the number right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Lynnell Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin. He's back with you on Wednesday. The legal tampering period officially opens in the National Football League coming up at noon. Washington with a couple of marquee signings over the weekend. John Bates and Tress Way put pen to paper. They still got 26 guys, I believe, that are still considered unrestricted free agents, but that number's dropped significantly. I think it's 24. Of the in-house free agents that haven't signed, which one would you care about losing the most? It's the best way that I could put it. That's next. You know, the Team 980. Just getting rolling here on Legal Tampering Day in the National Football League. Starting at 12 p.m. Eastern time, free agents across the NFL can start talking to other teams. If you're just now joining us, Lynnell Willingham, Denton Day here taking you up to 1 o'clock. Bruce Feldman, college football insider and draft guru for The Athletic, going to join us at 11:40. Get a little bit of local flavor and see what the Commanders have done up to this point with our guy Sam Fortier of The Washington Post coming up at 12:30. But a lot happened over the weekend across the NFL. A couple of things happened relative to the Commanders. We know Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, Zane Gonzalez, and Chris Rodriguez all back in the fold Over the past 24 hours, John Bates and Tress Way putting pen to paper to stay here in Washington as well. Bates, a multi-year deal. I think it was a three-year deal for John Bates. As it was key to keep him in-house, and then Tress Way sticking around as well. Dante Fowler and De'Ami Brown with some interesting tweets last night. Don't expect both of those two guys back. Their positions, though, are positions of need for Washington still as we get ready for free agency. But those are two in-house guys that I don't expect back. When the season ended, this was my thought process, and I'm here right now as De'Ami and Dante Fowler are PO'd. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Every decision, first and foremost, the job ain't for the weak at heart. This isn't easy to go out and field a roster, right? This isn't Madden. There are real consequences that come with you failing in free agency. And I think for Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and the pro scouts, this job that they have this offseason is massive. They have to do their damnedest to not fall too far back of what they were a season ago. And I think a big part of that is being aggressive, taking advantage of having Jayden Daniels on this rookie contract. I think before noon is when you got to show your aggression as well. Washington, while they were able to get Ertz done, Wagner done, Gonzalez, Bates, and Tress Way, there are still some other guys that are UFAs for this team that I think you really, really should bring back. The market is going to be strong in a couple of different positions. Offensive tackle, I'm seeing Dan Moore of Pittsburgh expected to get $20 million per. That drives up the cost of a guy like Cornelius Lucas, who quite literally, right, is in the same situation as a guy like Dan Moore. Now, Dan Moore has had more starting opportunities, I guess, over the past several years, but I think skill set wise, he isn't somebody that's way better than Corin Lucas. So a guy that I had on my list, the 15 to 16 guys that I need to bring back, Corin Lucas was on it. You may get driven out of his market. Jeremy Chinn at the safety spot. The safety position is expected to boom this offseason. After last year, it was weird. Teams were lowballing teams. Justin Simmons had to wait, a former All-Pro, to get even a reasonable deal, and he was still on a one-year flyer. According to Jordan Schultz of FoxSports.com, Jeremy Chinn near the top of teams' lists when it comes to the free agent safety market. So the question that I wanted to ask at 301-230-0980, we'll ask it to you as well, Denton. Which in-house free agent that hasn't signed are you most fearful of losing? My answer is Jeremy Chinn. I think he just meant too much to the organization last year and to the defense. I really, really feel like with Chinn, he embodies what it's going to mean to be a commander moving forward. Fast, physical, tough. And at 26 years of age, still young enough to where you can have him throughout the duration of his prime. So Jeremy Chinn is my guy that I think I've got to bring back out of the other guys that are left here. Some of the other key names, Dante Fowler, De'Ami Brown. I kind of thought about this as he was playing really well, especially after the Dallas game and the season finale. Marcus Mariota is expected to have a strong market, and I think he showed enough last year to where he genuinely probably in his heart of hearts feels like, hey, I've shown enough to this point that I can be a potential bridge starter in the National Football League again. And I think the market for a guy like Mariota is even hotter after seeing the QB reclamation projects of Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith. And remember when all three of those guys became available, talking about Baker, Darnold, and Geno relative to the quarterback market at the time, they were at the top of the list. So there's probably a team out there looking, and I think the Vegas Raiders, now that they've got Geno, you take them off the list. That, to me, was the destination that made the most sense for Mariota because of the familiarity with Chip Kelly. But Miami has been linked as a team that, like, really is intrigued by Mariota. I don't know if that would be the destination he's looking at because it would probably be in a backup role. I'd have to think, depending on if Seattle strikes out on Sam Darnold, that he would be a guy that they would potentially look at. There are QB needy teams out there in the NFL that are going to be in on Marcus Mariota. he's a guy that I also feel like, fearful of losing him. I don't know is how I would describe it. I look at what you have in Jeff Driskel and go, hey, if Mariota is lost, I don't feel like the sky is falling because I know they really like Jeff Driskel. And it wasn't just the locks and the flow that had me feeling good about Sam Hartman. He looked pretty good this preseason in camp.
I think Chin is at the top of the list. Noah Brown is at the top of my list as well.
He might get overpaid, didn't he?
If they're not going to keep Deami Brown, which at this point seems like the direction,
yeah.
Noah Brown might be a guy that they would look to keep as a good wide receiver three. I love him in the role of wide receiver three. I'm considering Debo wide receiver two. Mm-hmm. People are like, no, he's a weapon. He's wide receiver two. He's going to line up more often than not on the outside somewhere at the line of scrimmage, slot, wherever. I think Noah Brown staying would be huge for this offense. You know, there are optional safeties out there that I think could fill the role that Jeremy Chin had. Hufanga is the big one, has connections to Adam Peters. If for the sure. Patriots are going to bring all of Mike Vrabel's friends, Adam Peters might as well bring all of his friends from San Francisco. So if Hufanga wants to come out here and play, if Traverius Ward wants to come out here and play, all of a sudden the secondary got significantly better, and then you keep a guy like a Noah Brown.
Yeah, I agree with you. And since you brought up the secondary, another guy that I'm banging on the table for, and I think he's going to have an interesting market because of how well he played last year and the age, Noah Igbinoghene. Like, the corner market is strong, but if you're looking for a second-tier guy to take a flyer on and compete to be a starter for you, I think other teams are going to view Noah Igbinoghene similarly to how Washington viewed him last year. I think think about how important Noah Igbinoghene was last year. Emmanuel Forbes stunk. Benjamin St. Juice stunk. If you didn't have the fallback option of Noah Igbinoghene that allowed you to kick Emmanuel Forbes, Mikey Samuelsill to the outside, then you're screwed, kinda, right? Like,
and if you didn't have, he gave you the flexibility to kick Mikey to the outside, mm-hmm. to kick Forbes to the curb,
yeah.
and then basically to bench Benjamin St. Juice for a majority of the second half of this season. I think the nice thing about him, though, is that you're not more likely than not going to get a massive market for him.
For Noah Igbinoghene,
because there are a lot of other guys that I would think most teams are going to look at and say, well, he's on the same level as them. So I think Noah Igbinoghene might be a guy that stays here for cheaper money. I don't want him to get like radically underpaid here, but I think you can keep him for cheaper money.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. He's one of my guys, though, that I would really want back. I think he's a core special teams guy for you as well. Depending on the way free agency goes, and if you're able to land a big fish like Traverius Ward or Carlton Davis or Byron Murphy, he's a good safety net. Because I think I said this on Friday, I would have no qualms about going into next year with my corner trio being Lattimore and Mikey on the outside and then Noah Igbinoghene back in the slot. I think that secondary looks marketably better if you're able to get a consistent pass rush. And I'm not talking about those weak-ass 10.5 sacks that Dante Fowler gave us last year. Now that he put the tweet out, I want smoke. Now that he put the tweet out, I have things to say. Because I was saying it during the regular season.
One thing I do just want to point out, Noah Igbinoghene was on a one-year, $1.2 million deal.
Oh, he's going to get paid.
So getting paid for him, if you just double that money.
Maybe give him to four.
He has $2.5 million. You can give him, hey, here's a two-year, $8 million deal.
Yeah. I think.
And like, that's a team friendly deal, but you're also getting him a much bigger paycheck in the process. And then he can be your corner three, corner four if they decide to go for a Traverius Ward, to go for somebody in the draft if like Will Johnson slips all the way down to 29. Not anticipating that to happen, but Will Johnson played with Mikey Sanders still at Michigan.
He has a
championship pedigree. So there are options that they have. And you like, that's the one thing that was very nice about Noah Igbinoghene is, you're not really going to end up overpaying him. I mean, if they give him like a one-year, $8 million deal, I'm going to be scratching my head and being like, hey,
that would be a massive
guys,
offer, yeah.
You know, what are we doing? But you could just double that money, and you're still looking at that deal as a very, very cheap team-friendly deal while also getting the guy paid in the process.
So another guy at a position that I think the market is going to boom for, Cornelius Lucas. Like, he is the guy that I would have close to the top of my list saying, hey, I would really, really, really like to bring him back. Like Cornelius Lucas, whether it's to be your swing tackle, whether it's to compete at right tackle with Andrew Wiley, I think you want him back He knows you. You know him. I think he works his tail off. I think he's a popular guy in the locker room. He's a guy that's actually been around for a little while here in this organization, so knows what it's like to see the bad version of the Commanders. I think he's one of your, I don't know if glue guy would be a stretch, but I think he is someone that will have interest. The tackle market is kind of getting outrageous, so I look at him as a guy where there's a potential that maybe he gets a deal that you're not comfortable matching, I guess is the right term to use.
By the way, I have something that we're going to do every time we get some sort of breaking news. Mm-hmm. This is not Commander-centric, but I'm using this as an example for the next 2.5 hours. We got some breaking news here. We're talking about the defensive back market. Well, that market just got reset. J.C. Horn staying with Carolina on an extension, 4 years, $100 million. He's the highest paid corner at 25 per year in NFL history. Not that that's going to do anything for like a Noah Igbe contract, but if you're looking at like maybe a Tre'Davious Ward, if you wanted to get him for $12 to $14 million a year, now that that market just got bumped up a little bit, you might have to pay him $13 to $15 million. $1 million a year. As the saying goes, a rising tide lifts all ships.
Man. Well, thank you for that. Love the sounder as well. Whew. I remember Washington was sniffing around last year in his market to see if Carolina was going to get off of him. Obviously, the Panthers and David Tepper with some sort of common sense and some level of football smarts to get one of their young cornerstones on the defensive side signed to a long-term deal. How many long-term deals do you think Washington gives out this offseason? Because
what are we considering a long-term deal?
3+.
So does 3 count?
Yeah.
All right, so you're absolutely getting one to Terry on an extension.
Yes. I think Chin gets a 3-year deal.
I would say that they're going to give a 3-year deal to at least one bigger free agent. Not a big splash. I think most of the big splashes are going to go elsewhere, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But a bit like if a Tre'Davious Ward or a Hufanga or whoever, if they come to D.C., my guess is that they are in a 3-year or a 4-year deal. It allows you to kind of maneuver the money a little bit to lessen the cap hit this year if you want to really just bolster and sign a bunch of dudes, which the team needs because they have a lot of like legitimate holes on the roster in terms of the amount of people they need to field.
Yeah, there's still a lot as I'm looking at their updated, up-to-date UFA list. Still a couple of guys that I'd like to have back. Nick Ballore, someone that doesn't get brought up a ton. I think he may be a late return. I think Washington probably lets him go out and test his market, but a core special teamer and someone that's part of the fabric of your football team. We haven't talked a whole lot about the potential of Derek Forrest coming back. Interested in that. Didn't get a lot of snaps last year. Dad was pretty vocal on social media, but he was not. Thought he carried himself like an absolute pro's pro. But be interested to bring him back if you can't retain Jeremy Chinn. That's the thing that kind of fears me. If you can't retain Jeremy Chinn, damn, that's a lot of production that you're talking about missing when it comes to Jeremy Chinn, right? It's over 100 tackles for that guy. The ball production's not there, and I think that ultimately may hurt his market, but I just think he was, and he started off the season slow, but he was a heat-seeking missile last year at times, and I think he's really got the opportunity to do well for himself in free agency. We'll see if it's here or somewhere else. 301-230-0980 is the number. The NFL insiders from ESPN, CBSSports.com, Albert Breer with the MMQB, have released some free agent nuggets in their notebooks. We'll get to some of that and how it relates to the Commanders coming up next on the Team 980.
So as you just heard, big extension dished out to J.C. Horn of the Carolina Panthers. They agreed to a 4-year, $100 million extension in Carolina, making him the highest paid cornerback in NFL history, averaging $25 million per year. Yesterday was a massive day for some big money guys. Myles Garrett staying in Cleveland on an extension that'll pay him $40 million per year, making him the highest paid non-quarterback In NFL history, Josh Allen of the Bills reached a six-year extension worth $330 million. The Steelers traded, then extended. DK Metcalf, 5 years, $150 million. Pay attention to that one. That's $30 million per year. My guess is Terry McLaurin might end up with maybe $31 million per year after that one. Devontae Adams agrees to a two-year deal with the Rams. He's choosing Matt Stafford over his boy Aaron Rodgers. Friendship breakups are hard, man. The Commanders are keeping some of their own. Zach Ertz on a one-year deal. Tress Way on a one-year deal. John Bates on a three-year deal. So they're keeping some of their guys in-house. Elsewhere around the DMV, the Capitals picked up a 4-2 win over the Seattle Kraken. Alex Ovechkin scored goal 886. He's eight away from tying Wayne Gretzky, nine away from breaking his record. The Caps next in action tomorrow in Anaheim to take on the Ducks. Local hoops this week. The Big Ten tournament starts on Wednesday. The Terps' first game is Friday at 6:30 against an opponent to be determined. Mason in action on Friday as the number two seed in the A-10 tournament at Cap 1 against a team to be determined at 5. Georgetown takes on DePaul at 6:30 on Wednesday in the Big East tournament. And that's what's trending.
Legal tampering period gets underway officially in the National Football League coming up in about an hour and change. 12 noon Eastern time is when other teams across the NFL can begin talking to other free agents across the NFL. So expect a lot of news between now and the end of the day, and expect the news to continue until the later portions of the week, man, as it is free agency time across the National Football League. Linnell Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. Right here on the Sheehan Show on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Yep. All righty. He's putting it to use.
Another one bites the dust. Khalil Mack off the market, $18 million fully guaranteed on a one-year deal to stay with the Chargers.
Okay, so.
$18 million for 34-year-old Khalil Mack is very steep. But he was a great run defender, man.
Yeah, cross another one off the list for Washington. $18 million, Denton says, for Khalil Mack. Well, it segues us perfectly into what we're going to do at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Now that Khalil Mack is off the table, now that Myles Garrett completely bluffed, and if you listened to us last week, I had Mike Jones on Monday when I sat in for Chris Russell, and he straight up said, he's not built like that. Talking about Myles Garrett, meaning that he's not willing to rock the boat. Ultimately, it goes down that way as he signs the largest non-QB deal in NFL history to maintain, to stay with the Cleveland Browns. So the pass rusher market getting scarce. Good players don't hit free agency. I think that is the bigger thing that is my takeaway with this, but this is where it gets interesting. You got slim pickings here. Beggars can't be choosers at a certain point. Washington must leave free agency with a real understanding of who is going to be their two starting defensive ends week one. Now, I think from their vantage point, they're probably counting on Dorrance Armstrong being one of those guys based off of the contract that he got. But, man, how do they choose to address defensive end now that some of the premier options that were in this free agency class are now off the board? Like, that's tough. It's not a fun place to be in. There's a lot of uncertainty. This is why free agency is the best and the worst. Like, you can have your eyes set on somebody. All it takes is another team coming in and saying, here's more money for you, and now you can have a really massive hole entering free agency.
It feels like Trey Hendrickson is the one. I mean, we're getting dangerously close to the lights turning on at the club, and you're just grabbing anybody at this point. Like, Trey Hendrickson's still there.
Yeah.
Lights are still down. You know, he's looking all right over there. You might have to give up an asset, buy a drink that's worth $30 million per year, and then bring him on over.
That's a hell of an analogy. I'll just say, knowing the dirt that I did, the mean streets of Bethany, West Virginia, I've been there. When Country Roads comes on and the lights come on.
Like, you got to make sure you are out of there. You don't want to be there when the lights turn on, because that's how you wind up with Dante Fowler coming back.
Yeah, looking at free agency through burgundy and gold-colored lenses is how you end up with Dante Fowler for two more years. Hopefully Washington can find another option. Top of the 11 o'clock hour, we'll begin to take your calls at 301-230-0980. How does Washington address the edge rusher spot now that Myles Garrett, the big fish that a lot of us were hopeful to land. He's now off of the market. Harold Landry, a guy that I know Denton was in on. I was in on him as well. I thought he'd be a good fit here in Washington. He put pen to paper yesterday on a three-year deal to rejoin Mike Vrabel down there in New England. So the edge rusher market scarce, to say the least. There's names like Joey Bosa, Von Miller, Hassan Reddick, DeMarcus Lawrence, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Josh Sweat, another name that's out there that Washington could potentially bring in. They're going to have a lot of options, but as Denton Lee, as Denton so eloquently put it, there are not a lot of seats at the table, so to speak. So you better find one. The club getting ready to let out, and all the fine things are gone.
Yeah,
so.
You got Hendrickson, you got Sweat, you got Za'Darius Smith.
So I tweeted about Za'Darius Smith, and people just were diving in my mentions with hate mail. And I'm like, dude, Za'Darius is a good football player. He had Brandon Coleman ass in hell last year. He was frying Brandon Coleman.
I mean, can I interest you in the older Bosa?
He just has hurt so much.
What about Von Miller at 86 years old?
Yeah, it's looking more and more like, oh, I hope Donovan Ezeraku is there. Oh, I hope your favorite edge rusher is there at pick number 29.
Like, man, that is looking like you're like, man, that Myles Garrett contract kind of sucks now because we got to pay Trey Hendrickson more.
Well, exactly. So timing is everything with this. First hour of the books here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Lynnell Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. Loaded for you in the 11 o'clock hour. Bruce Feldman, who covers the NFL draft for The Athletic, going to join us at about 11:40 to give us some potential draft names that could come in here and help Washington at defensive end. When we come back, your calls, 301-230-0980. Now that Myles Garrett is off the board, now that Khalil Mack is off of the board, what is the most efficient way, what's your favorite way that Washington should be addressing the defensive end position? I got a couple of different names that I want to give you on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Team 980.